Boom! Welcome to the program. Okay. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. So much to do, so much to talk about. First things first, just when it can't get more absurd, there are some, well, you know, so Bernie wins the primary up in Oregon. And the big narrative, of course, being that Hillary is now the crowned victor of a race where she's consistently losing. But here's what I think the real story is. I can tell you why Bernie won. And it was all buried on an obscure link of Bernie's campaign website. But believe me, now this is the part that's crazy. This actually was up on Bernie's website. And do we have a screenshot, Rob? I think, well, we're going to try to find a screenshot. I think we do. And we're going to go post it up so you can see this. And don't take my word for this. Actually, up on the website, there was a Wiccans for Bernie event. I have to say that carefully here. Wiccans, right? So this is, witchcraft people. And it was a get together in Portland, right? The Portland Wiccans. I don't know if it's some denomination. I don't know how official these witchcraft congregations are, but they got together and they publicized, and the Bernie Sanders campaign helped them publicize by linking to it on their website. And these people get together somewhere in some undisclosed location. And you'd be interested to know it was odd, to say the least. First, you know, Robbie, you know what you first have to do before you even enter into this whatever grove, sacred area, and it's all outside, right? So there's no we're not talking about any kind of a building, any kind of a sacred space. This is all outdoors. So what do you have to first do? You have to get smudged. Have you ever been smudged? I think I get smudged. what does this mean? Apparently, they take some kind of sweet grass and they light it on fire, and then they they dab it. Yeah, they dab it at you, and before you enter the sacred place, you've got to be smudged, and you have to take this. You burn the end of this grass, and then they put it on the front of you and on the back of you and around you. And then you're purified, and you can go into the event. So, you know, when they say sweetgrass, of course, you know, I know, you know, wink, wink. I know what they're talking about. grass, yes. Sweet, not so much. But at any rate, this is they have this giant rally, And here's some of the things that they're saying. So they get the priestess. Yeah, there's this gal that's officiating the event. And she says, you know, she opens with, "We're all gathered in a sacred place." Now, why do we know this? We know this because there's actually a reporter there who had to suffer through this thing. And, you know, and then they do this welcoming thing. They do welcome to the east, welcome to the north, welcome to, don't know, anyway. But the crucial thing here is how it relates to the election, is the ballot magic portion. It's portion, right? Because it's the portion of the ceremony. It could also be a potion, maybe. But at any rate, the high priestess sits down and passes out copies of ballots with now, this is the thing, with Bernie Sanders' name already bubbled in. Yeah, it's already pre-bubbled. Here, you moron. I know you can't even figure out how to fill out a ballot, so we've done it for you. This is already, you know, filled in with Sanders' name. And then they go around in the group and they want everybody there to blurt out, kind of like bear their testimonies of why they need to be voting for Sanders. And here are some of the things these morons said. Okay, now I don't have a complete list. "I'm voting for the end of private prisons." Okay, all right. "I'm voting for removing corporate money from politics." Okay. "I'm voting for getting more women in office." Yeah? by voting for a octogenarian man? Yeah, I'd smoke more of that sweet grass if I were you. I'd go back to... That guy needs to be smudged more. That's what I'm thinking. So, I mean, yeah, so ballot magic portion, it's... First of all, let's be real. I was born in Chicago. The Democratic Party's been doing magic ballots since the beginning of time, okay? it's the amazing disappearing, reappearing ballot. And as far as pre-selecting the candidate, that trick's as old as time, too. That's right. I mean, are there dead people? Yeah, dead people with a perfect voting record up there. All over. The motor voter bill, right? Make it real easy for people to vote. So easy, in fact, that we can't even ascertain if they're alive. Well, you know, in some places, you know this. In some places, you know, some Democratic voters don't even walk on two legs. It's a known fact that pets have been registered, and not even just mammals. So, yeah. So anyway, this is the Bernie Sanders has got the Wiccans behind him, and you know, to Hillary's detriment, he did win and carry the state of Portland. Now, what happened? Where were the Wiccans in Nevada? Have you heard about this? It's just right next door to us. It's so close, and I don't think we're even really talking about what's going on in Nevada, because in Nevada they had a caucus, and I'm going to remind you again. The caucus, there's you show up, and it's informal. It's not an election open to everybody. You've got to show up at a caucus site, and you basically gather in the corners of a room. I mean, imagine what this was like in the Republican primary, 16 candidates in the beginning, and they're caucusing, and, you know, each candidate gets a little huddle of people, and they have a sign or a paddle, and they say, come over here. So it's easier on the Democratic side. They've got two people running, Hillary and Bernie. And so they hold this, what casino was it at? Paris? I think it was Paris. They had a Paris casino, I think, is where they held it. Classy. So they have it over there, so... And okay, and so they have this thing, and they got the vote. They've got an I and I. They got an oral vote, and no ballots or anything. So what is the state chairwoman gets up there and says, "Everybody in favor for Hillary Clinton, bye." You know, and then everyone in favor for Bernie, nay. And then she goes up, Hillary winner, and that's it. Hillary won the caucus. She won, quote unquote. All right. Well, she didn't. I mean, it was there were completely everybody on site. See, the Bernie Sanders. Well, I don't know if they were just Wiccans. There might have been some other people there. But the Bernie people are very well organized. They're grassroots. You know, they're smudged. So they're yeah, they're sweet grassroots. There you go. So they're very organized. They totally beat Hillary in Nevada, but Hillary's declared the winner. And then all hell breaks loose. You know it's bad when the Nevada Democratic Party attorney writes a letter to the DNC warning them that all hell is going to break loose in Pittsburgh, where the Democrats are going to have their convention, based on what he witnessed firsthand. And here's some of the things. Here's a quote. Having seen up close the lack of conscience or concern for the ramifications of their actions, indeed, the glee with which they engaged in such destructive behavior, we expect similar tactics at the national convention in July. So they're already, I mean... So what kind of stuff is going on? They're throwing chairs. It's like a drunk brawl. They're throwing chairs. What else? I mean, they had to escort the party chairman out with an armed guard. They had to get her out with an armed guard. And here's the thing. I love this because, you know, if you listen to the Bernie crowd, you think they're a bunch of peacenik, you know, free love hippie people. But, you know, they the so... here are the kind of things that Bernie supporters have left, the kind of voicemails that they have left on Roberta Lang's voicemail box. This is what they've left her. And Roberta's the gal who led the vote. We'll say it. She rigged it for Hillary. And so poor Roberta wakes up to a living hell. And here are some of the voicemail. Okay. We know where you live. Yeah, that's not threatening. Where you work. Where you eat. Well, that's oddly specific. We know where your kids go to school. This is the free love people. This is the money out of politics. This is the, power to the people and help the innocent and downtrodden. We have everything on you. Again, don't know what that means. And then my personal favorite, you made a bad choice. Prepare for hell. So, and yeah, this is just, let me tell you, this is just a snippet of what kind of vitriol was left on this lady's voicemail. So she's in hiding. I think the first day after the vote, they had to close the caucus, right? They had to the Democratic Party headquarters. And so now this is, it's getting out of control. And I will tell you, I can prove this is real. I can prove this is real. And I can prove it because I saw a bumper sticker the other day. I saw one bumper sticker the other day that proves my point, and you'll agree with me. It's down to one bumper sticker. Trust me. Back after this. And welcome back to the program. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And this is a millennial free zone. If you've got a millennial in the car with you, I realize that you're probably taking him from your home to guitar lessons. He's 26, a college graduate. Please warn him, but you got to put the radio on low because I'm not sure Junior is equipped to handle this. We also practice some seismic level macroaggressions. So if you are used to your UC campus, that is a microaggression free space, well, prepare yourself. Or in the words of some Democrats disenchanted in Nevada, prepare for hell. Well, that was actually what somebody left on that state chairwoman's voicemail when they were so pissed off at her for letting Hillary steal the race. So Bernie Sanders supporter, prepare for hell. That's always my motto right before I get on the air. Okay, so yes. I was talking about the Wiccans. So they had this Wiccan rally up in Oregon. The witchcraft people, and they're big supporters of Bernie, and is there something ironic about witches feeling the burn? I don't know. Anyway, but by the way, that whole thing about them filling out the ballot, pre-filling out the ballot, can you imagine what the news story would be if the Mormon Church and humor me here. If the Mormon Church in 2012, right, when Romney was running against Obama, if the Mormon Church passed out ballots to people in the congregation, to its membership, pre-filled out with Mitt Romney on it, I mean, can you imagine the outcry you'd have? Now, I know, I get it. There's a relative size here, and this news story is basically a joke because you've got these people, dabbing themselves with sweet grass that's burning to, what is it, smudging, right? But it's absurd. But at the same time, the left always gets a pass. They do. Now, I'll tell you more ways than one. But if you doubt the veracity of these claims, if you're one of those skeptical people, especially you limousine liberals, and I know you folks, I know you, I see you at my son's school, driving your Tesla Model S's, looking smug as bugs, with your Bernie Sanders stickers plastered all over the back. Okay, I see you. Now, think about this. So you're saying that these Hillary people are blowing this out of proportion. And you're also saying, and I hear it all over the place, right? The Hillary campaign saying the Sanders people are unhinged. And the Sanders people are saying, we're not unhinged. What are you talking about? This is a democratic process, and we're peace loving, you know, people. And, you know, it's those Donald Trump supporters over there. Those are the whack jobs. Okay. Guess what I saw the other day? I saw a Donald Trump sticker on a car. And let me ask you something. When was the last time you saw a Donald Trump sticker on a car? Missy, you're shaking your head. I'll ask you, have you actually seen a Donald Trump sticker on a car? Okay, and you drive a lot. Yes, I mean, I know you drive a lot. So, Robbie, have you seen one on a car? Yeah, well, that's true. Maybe a Brinks truck. Well, so, but what's the point that I'm trying to illustrate here? Are you a Trump supporter? Okay. Would you put a Trump sticker on your car? Now, why not? And I think the answer's simple. You know, you intuitively know that your car is going to get vandalized. I mean, yeah, I don't care. You can live in, it doesn't matter. You live in LA County, Orange County. You live in the burbs, you live uptown, downtown. I don't think it matters. And I think this is Darwinism, yes, let me explain it to you, survival of the fittest. And we have certain instincts in us, they're called survival instincts. And anyone here who actually likes their car is not going to put a Donald Trump sticker on it. You got to be one brave mofo to go into, I'll say this, anywhere in LA County with a Donald Trump sticker. And so now why? Okay, this is not some, there isn't some directive that came out from the Trump campaign, don't put out stickers. And you see all these stickers, you see all these Bernie stickers everywhere, right? I see Hillary stickers too, but Bernie, man, stickers everywhere. And you know why? Because here's the truth. Here's what the media is not telling you. A Donald Trump voter is not going to go vandalize a Bernie car. And you'd think, of course, that these Bernie stickers would be on crap cars, but they're not. I joke about the Tesla Model S's. Am I right about this, by the way? It's true. I think Tesla, it's an option. You can, if you buy the car, you select the optional Bernie sticker. It comes with that. Anyway. So they're nice cars with Bernie stickers too, which I always laugh at. My wife sees Bernie stickers. Okay, I gotta tell you. So she sees a Bernie sticker on a nice car and just goes, what are you doing? This guy wants to take it all away from you. What are you doing? Anyway. But the narrative has been Trump voters are crazy. They're violent. They're this, they're that. And this whole thing in Nevada gets brushed over. I mean, they're throwing chairs. When has there been a Trump rally where someone involved with the party has to be escorted out with security? I mean, there's that one incident where some lunatic lunges at the stage at Donald Trump. It wasn't a Donald Trump supporter. It was a loony Bernie supporter. These guys are crazy. And you and I know it because we exactly it's the bumper sticker theory. Okay. And so that leads me to this. Look, Clinton, by the way, there is no big Clinton conspiracy. And this is important. If you're out there, you're Bernie, you're all Bernie and you've smudged? If you've smudged for Bernie, these party rules that are putting Hillary in the lead are the same rules that put Obama in the lead last time. The rules have not changed. And also something to remember is last time, and if you think it's all, you know, the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Party machine, you got to realize that last time Obama was kind of an outsider. I mean, he was a newcomer. What was he? Community organizer. part-time law professor. Then he was a state senator for a hot minute. And then U.S. senator for even a hotter minute. And then what? And then he's in the Senate. And he's running against Hillary, who, by the way, at that point, she was a lot more popular, if you look at the numbers. A lot more popular back then than she is now. By a significant margin. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 12, by some accounts, and as high as 22%. Less likable today than she was 8 years ago. And in part, it was because coming after 8 years of Bush, Bill Clinton was still wildly popular. And now we're coming of age into an era, and we'll call it the post-Clinton era. And no one's really calling it that. But think a few years from now, you'd be like, I heard this on Sam Nation first. We're entering the post-Clinton era. And she'll get the nomination, but she's going to lose the presidency. And like that, the Clinton flame will go out. And it has to do with a whole generation of people being completely unfamiliar with the Clinton years. So I'm 35, and I came of age politically. Well, but you got to understand, I came of age under Clinton, but I was a little bit ahead of my time. So Clinton won the presidency in 92, and I would have been in the sixth grade. Now, the fact that I was a really nerdy, politically engaged sixth grader really makes me an anomaly among my peer group. You know, people who are my age, and arguably 35 is, you know, it's not even, I'm not that young anymore. People my age just don't remember Clinton. They came of age under Bush. And so, you know, so now people don't remember the Clinton years, and they don't remember the first Clinton campaigns. And I'll tell you the most strategic thing, the reason we're going to enter in the post-Clinton era, the reason we're entering the post-Clinton era is because people will now be reminded of the Bill Clinton years, and they're not going to like what they hear. They're not going to like it. It's a different time. And what is it? What is it? Did you see that Hannity interview? What was it? Wednesday night? Okay, I'm gonna tell you about that in a minute here, because when we come back, you've got to understand how just epochal that interview was, and I know if you don't follow Hannity, that's okay, but Trump went on Fox News and dropped a bomb. I kid you not. And it's seismic. And the fact that the story has since then gotten traction and continues to grow and get traction is exactly why Clinton's campaign is doomed. It's over. So this is a very exciting time. So when we come back, I want to talk about that and remind you a little bit about those golden Clinton years. Back after this, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Okay. Imagine, look, I know we all drive, except if you're a millennial and your mommy and daddy still drives you to your guitar lessons or to chess club or to your origami folding activities. But if you aren't one of those people, you drive. And now imagine you're driving along. Let's say, I don't know, you're on La Cienega. Everything's going great. And then some Bernie Wiccan supporter, some Wiccan Bernie Sanders supporter that is high, well, just fresh off of being, what is it, smudged? Fresh off of being smudged at a Bernie rally, high on sweet grass, rear ends you, smash, boom! And there you are, and you're stunned. You don't know what to do. Okay, you get out of the car. You don't even know if this jokester has any insurance. You know, his car is basically taped together with, you know, I don't. And there you are, and your life is in shambles. You've got a job to get to the next day. Now you're in pain. You don't know what doctor. You're just, this is the last thing you had time for. Stop, breathe, make a call. The person you need to talk to is my friend, attorney James Bergner. His friends call him Sweet James, and it's for a reason. I mean, he's the guy who will take care of you and get the job done. Any kind of accident, any kind of injury, no matter how serious or how trivial, give this man a call. Sweet James, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. And you can also see his website, sweetjames.com. All right, so good stuff here. Good stuff. If you're recovering from that crash, right? You're moving on, and you're listening to the radio. You're going, what's all this nonsense about Clinton? What is Clinton? I mean, you know, Hillary's Hillary, Bill is Bill, and you know, if you weren't alive and conscious in the Bill Clinton years, I'll remind you of a few things. And we were just talking about this in the break, weren't we, Missy? The millennials here are supervised, and thankfully we have Missy to keep us straight. So we're reminiscing about the Clinton years, and it was a good time. Okay, you remember this? There's a good time. Tech was booming, the internet just broke onto the scene. The America was booming, and it, you know, and in part it was because Bill Clinton ran as a left wing nut, and then pretty quickly switched tack, reverse tack, and you know, there's Newt Gingrich in Contract with America, and everybody forced him to the table, and next thing you know, he ended up being a fairly conservative, business friendly president. Okay, and now we all knew that Clinton was a bad boy, and even you know we're talking about this. Clinton was a bad boy, but he was charming, and he was eminently likable. So much so that things, even the most severe allegations, rolled off him like water off a duck's back. He was Teflon. And if you lived through this era, and if you were someone who was not a Clinton fan, you'll remember it. And it was probably something like if you're not an Obama fan in the first 12 minutes of his presidency. When there was this giant national orgasm going on, everybody crazy about Obama, and you're the one person in the room going, excuse me. But here's the point of all of this. Right now, Hillary is running with all of Bill's negatives. They're all out there. But she has none of Bill's positives. She's not as likable as him. She's not as relaxed. Clinton's a social chameleon. He's a charmer. The guy is good. And you know what? On some level, he's actually personally likable. You know, I actually believe, you know, these news stories about President Bush one becoming friends in his, you know, in his retirement with Bill Clinton. What's your takeaway in that? That, you know, Bill's a cool guy, and, you know, and he's able to get over politics, and he's a dude. And that I think for a lot of voters and a lot of Americans who, especially if they lean toward his political orientation, are going to forgive all the rest. But now Hillary is back, and Hillary's taint goes back. Okay, got to be careful about that. So Hillary's. Well, her bad mojo goes back to Clinton's first year in office. Remember healthcare? She was the one who tried to push it through, and it was really ham-fisted. It was really terrible. I mean, you know, and she wasn't appointed. She didn't have a real job. And next thing you know, the American public was looking at her going, who is this lady? And she just comes across as a witch. And that's not a selling point, apparently, to a majority of Bernie supporters. So, what is Clinton's legacy now vis-a-vis Clinton in this race? And the problem is that Bill Clinton likes women. In fact, he likes women so much that he's just a serial predator. There's nothing else left to say about it. And we talked about this some months ago on the show. And this was early on when the verdict was still out on Trump. Nobody knew where that was going. We did here. We did. And I said, I told you that ultimately the Clinton was going to win the nomination. Trump was, and there's going to be a Trump-Clinton matchup. And because of Trump's big mouth, he was going to be the one candidate who would hold Clinton accountable. And here we go. So on Hannity, Wednesday night? What does Trump do? If you missed it, it's because it was on early and then the Egypt Air plane crash happened and all of a sudden, all the regular programming got preempted. But if you missed it, here's what happened. Trump called Clinton a rapist. He literally called Clinton a rapist. And this is huge. Can you imagine back in 92 what... Well, I'll tell you what happened back in 92, and it's interesting, because so there are a few well documented incidents of Trump of Clinton doing some really terrible things. I think the worst one. Well, there's a couple. There's one gal, and her name is Kathleen Willey, and Kathleen Willey was a lifelong Democrat. Okay, this was a lifelong Democrat. She was a Democratic Party operative and an absolutely devoted Clinton follower. And she's somebody who works her way up through the volunteer corps and ends up in the White House, which I have to tell you, if you're a political operative of any kind, that's the Shangri-La. I mean, it's the cat's meow. And she's there. And she gets a meeting with Clinton she's getting some new job. She's hoping she's getting a promotion. And the only promotion she got was her hand forced down into Clinton's pants and onto his vice president. Okay? That's not cool. And guess what happens next? She's horrified. She flees. She tells a few people and everybody hushes it up. And worse yet, some years ago when the Paula Jones, this is a separate lady, okay, some sexual harassment that occurred before Clinton was in the White House, but when he was governor, she sues Clinton and Clinton is deposed. And one of the people deposes Kathleen Willey and they don't want Kathleen Willey to talk about this. And some of the craziest stuff happened. And Willie talks about this. She says, for one, there's private investigators that were walking around her remote neighborhood, right? She doesn't live in lived in a remote area. There's guys walking around her neighborhood asking about her kids. Okay? You have kids? You want some creep walking around asking about your kids that are out playing? And you moved to a remote area for a reason, you know? So she's asking about her kids. They're going through her trash. Okay? In fact, there was this encounter with Sid Blumenthal, who was a notorious fixer for the Clintons. And when a reporter goes to him and says, Sid, hey, I hear this thing about Kathleen Willey's going to break. And, this is looking bad for you guys. And Sid Blumenthal says, and this is on Monday, Sid goes, you think you like her now? Just wait until Friday. Think about that. This is what is the God's honest truth about all of this nonsense. It was the person running the smear campaign against Willie was none other than Hillary Clinton. This lady has been Bill Clinton's fixer, right? She's the one who went up and what do you call bimbo eruptions, right? When all that came out. And I think this is all really relevant because they've got this, you read that New York Times hit piece on Trump and oh my gosh, Trump, he like kissed some lady on the lips and then he was terrible to his ex-girlfriend and then he was this and that. And all the women, by the way, are coming out of the woodwork saying, this is wrong. I've been misquoted. I deny this. He was a gentleman to me. Okay. Are you a man listening to this program? Were you good to all of your ex-girlfriends? Okay, maybe you probably were. Now what? Do they all say nice things about you? If they do, you are either you're a genius or you're doing something right. Trump has his first wife, whom he divorced and cheated on, has endorsed him for president and has a good relationship with him. And where was, remember Juanita Broderick? We talked about Kathleen Willey, but Juanita Broderick, now she's a nurse working for some state agency, and Clinton at this point is in Arkansas, and he is the state attorney general. Do you remember what happened to her? Well, guess what? Juanita Broderick, she hasn't spoken in years, has she, Robbie? I mean, she's been quiet. And she has just surfaced. And this is where, this is the basis for what the whole Hannity interview was about. Rape. And wait till you hear this, and wait till you hear her perspective on what's going on here, especially vis-a-vis that Times piece that hit on Trump. It'll be interesting. Talk after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Well, okay. So, Trump lays, he drops a bomb. The R word. And you know, the thing is, he drops the R word on Hannity. And, you know, at some point earlier in the week, he already intimated at it. Basically, he says something to the effect, and it was really pithy. He's got in a little Twitter war with Clinton because Hillary. Because what Trump says is he goes, really, this New York Times hit piece on me? What a joke. This after all the stuff that Bill Clinton has done. I mean, his laundry list of shame, of mistreatment of women, and Hillary has been his constant enabler. You know, and Hillary fires back Robbie, you read it, this anemic tweet about something, you know, when Donald is backed into a corner, all he does is lash out. The thing about it was the retort was completely unresponsive. Huh? It was unresponsive. And it's telling. And what's telling about it is she has no idea how to respond. None. And this it'll have a crippling effect on them. So let me tell you, this is a problem. This frame today's events in the context of this New York Times piece on Trump, where they go and they interview Trump's girlfriends. And this is exactly, let me tell you, this is exactly how the liberal media works. They sit down, they say, we're going to write a story about all the women in Trump's life and how badly he treated them. And remember doing a science project, that'd be your hypothesis. So they start with this hypothesis, okay? And then they start interviewing the women. And can you imagine how that went? Think about being the schlub Times reporter that, you know, had to come home every night or go back to his desk after being out in the field and interviewing these ladies. And they're all talking, whether nicely, glowingly, but regardless, positively about Trump. And it's not fitting their narrative. Can you imagine how frustrated you'd be as the reporter it's not fitting your narrative? And so they tweaked and they cut and they twisted and they gradually took snippets of quotes and forced it into their narrative. And the piece comes out and there's an eruption, and it's not a bimbo eruption, okay? In fact, these very with it and sophisticated ladies, some of them actually very presentable, and that's very dangerous, right? Because they present well in the media and they're credible. And they all get out there and say, no, I was completely misquoted. I feel, what do they say? I feel lied to. I think one of them even said this story is just fraudulent. Okay. It's a fraud. And the most interesting reaction to all of this is from Juanita Broderick. Now, who is she? I told you about just right before the break. We're talking about Kathleen Willey. Clinton put his hands, put her hand down, forced her hand down his pants, touched his crotch. And, he did a lot worse. Okay. And this is something you've got to realize. And if you don't remember this era and you don't know who Juanita Broderick is, he, actually, he meets her at this convention. He is a high-ranking state official. He's the attorney general of Arkansas. He meets her at a convention where they're discussing healthcare reform. I believe she's a registered nurse representing some group that has business before the state. And he takes her, this is an important public figure and she wants to meet with him and lobby him for whatever it is. And they meet for coffee in her room is what he wants to do. And while there, they're alone and he rapes her. Okay. And in fact, this is where the famous Bill Clinton line comes when she's hurt after the assault. And Bill Clinton tells her to put some ice on it. Direct quote. Well, I'll tell you, here's where Juanita Broderick stands on all of this today. She's incredulous because I think you're probably asking the same question. If the New York Times is so hell-bent on vetting a potential future President Trump, certainly vetting a candidate Trump, where was the New York Times vetting candidate Clinton in 92? Nowhere. Nowhere to be found. You know, somebody just asked her this week, and this is Juanita Broderick, asked her if the Times had contacted her for an interview about her past with Clinton. So this is now flash forwarding. Let's just say under different management now. Let's say the New York Times is reformed and they're all about seriously vetting political candidates. Think again. What does Broderick respond? No. You know what? No, they haven't. And she says this, I wish, this is a quote, I wish that they would use the same amount of energy, meaning the New York Times, to interview the hundreds of women that Bill Clinton has probably spoken bad words about and the many, many women that he has assaulted. I think a person's own actions and what they do to women speaks much louder than a person's hearsay and words. And this is her retort to, this completely fabricated, Trump war on women narrative that the Democratic Party is pushing. And here she says something too. I mean, she in this interview talks about how there's a whole generation of Americans who just haven't heard about Bill Clinton and what he did to women back in the time. Here's what Juanita Broderick says. It's almost like she's speaking straight into this program. Quote, just like on Twitter, I had these young millennials coming on saying, is this true? Did it really happen? Well, yes, it did happen to me. And that's just the thing. Not to keep putting down millennials. It's just anyone that wasn't alive in that era doesn't remember it. And what you remember is this kind of feel-good thing. Oh, yeah, those Clinton years, they were good. Everything was great. And Bill's this charming guy. Everything's great. But I submit to you what's going to happen between now and November. Bill Cosby. Think about that. Where was your opinion of Cosby a year ago? You probably liked him. Yeah, maybe even admired him. Strong guy. Right. He's an advocate for education. He's a philanthropist, talented, America's dad. And oh, how much can change. Well, even just, let's say, 6 months. 6 months. And if you think that a lifetime legacy can't be dissolved completely in a short period of time, you're delusional. Or your eyes haven't been open this past year. So this stuff, and Trump is not afraid to drop these bombs. He's not. In fact, I'll tell you, Trump's latest thing was, what was it? He puts out this tweet. I've got it here in my stack of stuff. Oh, this is this tweet, right? He says, Crooked Hillary and her husband is going to be in charge of the economy. If so, he should run, not her. will he bring the Energizer to D.C., talking about Bill Clinton's latest mistress? He's just not afraid. He's gonna drop everything. Nothing is sacred to this guy. He doesn't have a focus group. He doesn't have campaign consultants that are telling him, "Ooh, not this, not that. You can't do it." When George H.W. Bush ran against Clinton, he took the high road and he avoided any talk about all of this. It's not going to happen here. And you know what? The greatest irony of all this is, let's peel the clock back a little bit. You remember that tweet, Hillary's little statement here about how every survivor of sexual assault deserves to be heard? Remember that? Where do I have it? Yeah. Every survivor of sexual assault deserves to be heard, believed, and supported. Well, you know what's really ironic? Is these ladies that were assaulted by Clinton are coming out of the woodwork now. And it's because they finally feel safe to do so because they've got Trump out there supporting them and blasting back at the Clintons like no one ever has. So you know what? If you are at the water cooler and you hear from your insipid cubicle mate who's, you know, lost in left-wing la-la land, "No, oh, Trump, and he just hates women. Oh, just a disaster for women." You tell him. You tell him how lost he is. Because this subtext here, this thing that's going on behind the scenes is real. And women across America are picking up on it. Why? You think I'm not making this up? Do you see this Kathleen Willey quote, Robbie? You see this? This was Kathleen Willey on who she supports for president. And where do I have it here? Well, Kathleen Willey turns out after being a lifetime Democrat is supporting Trump. "I'll tell you what I like about him. He may be a blowhard and he might be crass and he might be a bully. He might be all the above." And then she talks about how he stood up and was strong and said, "I want this country to be great again." But she admires his strength. She says this, "I admire his strength. I'm thankful because nobody in the mainstream media has ever had the nerve to ask her," and she's talking about Hillary being an enabler of Bill Clinton, "anything about what she was responsible for doing to all these victims." And she adds, "And believe me, she's the only one behind all the terrorization, all the trashing of all of us. She's behind it all." She calls Hillary an enabler and cites Trump as being the only person that can stand up to him. And I think a lot of women are going to feel this. And they're going to forgive words and they look toward actions. And that's powerful stuff. So, another hour in the can. Good news is we're going to be back tomorrow, 6 p.m., Sunday. Please tune in. We have some fun stuff. You know, ever wondering about licenses and how the government basically controls you, controls business and controls everything and to just an absurd level? Talk about it. Visit us, please. SamNation.com, our website, a lot of good fresh content, the podcast, and also at SamNation Show on Twitter. And at Sam Nation on Instagram, a lot of good stuff during the week. See you tomorrow. Sam Rajofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.